Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode are Walter McMichael and Matt Thompson. Walter, how you doing?
Doing great. Happy to be on here. You know, got to talk our Dynasty League again, so you know I had to be on here.
Yeah. You were going to bail out tonight because you had some sort of job interview or something in the morning. And you're like the youngest one on this pod and like complaining about having to go to bed at midnight. So,
well, I actually had two kids before you had two kids. So
this is true.
I'm like a 50-year-old man at heart after two kids.
Yeah, no, I know how it is. But Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. Paul Goldschmidt, baby.
Yeah. You haven't been on since Goldie was traded. So. You want to take
RIP Carson Kelly.
All right, I'll let you be let that be your word. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach Walter on Twitter at RealFakeWalter. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. I got it right this time, right, Walter?
You did. Awesome. You did get it right this time. Congratulations.
Awesome. There we go. 17th time's a charm. So we're gonna talk a little bit, kind of do a wrap up and post mortem on the Friends of Fantasy Benefits 30-team Dynasty Draft. Just kind of talk a little bit about that, and I'm gonna yell at Walter about his Dynasty strategy. He's gonna yell at me about my Dynasty strategy, and Matt is just going to make snide remarks in the background about both of us. So
I'm all good with that.
First, we're gonna talk about Billy Hamilton, who signs a deal to go play center field, most likely, I would assume so, for the Kansas City Royals. So I'll start with you, Walter. What are your thoughts on Billy Hamilton signing in Kansas City?
Yeah, as a former Billy Hamilton truther, I'm not sure how I feel about this. But, I mean, he's always been able to at least take a walk. He can't hit at all, but I guess if he can keep the OBP at least at like around 300, he should be able to steal a ton of bases on the Royals because they run like crazy. I don't know. I just really don't want to own Billy Hamilton anymore. I really don't want to do it anymore. I've done it a couple times and it was nice, but last year was just painful. Maybe that's just too stuck in my head right now.
Matt, what are your thoughts on Billy Hamilton?
You know what the weirdest thing about Billy Hamilton is? Last year, I mean in 2018, he played in 153 games and stole 34 bases. In 2017, he played in 139 games and stole 59 bases. And both years, he had the same exact OBP. So, that's interesting to me.
Okay. Well, a lot less plate appearances last year, though.
Yeah, about 80 less. So I do agree with that, but I just thought it was weird. He had the same OBP and significantly less stolen bases and more games played. But, you know, he is what he is. I'm surprised he's not on your Giants, Justin. They've been linked to him forever. But
I thought that was going to be the move because they need a center fielder.
Right, and he can do that. He can pick it better than almost anybody in center field. So, I mean, he's center. If a good team grabs him and can use him as only a runner and a center fielder, then, I mean, they have a good – but with the way teams are built nowadays, you can't really do that. But I don't know. Billy Hamilton, he's still a guy that can – he's still worth a late-round fantasy pick, in my opinion, just because of the stolen base upside. I mean, yeah, you have to understand he's going to tank you in OBP. If he hits 247 like he did in 2017, I mean, that's not going to kill you in average. So, you know, you just have to know what your limitations are. But, I mean, last year he hurt people because last year was not a good year. But the year before that, he was quite valuable.
Yeah, I mean, he hurt people, but he didn't hurt people, I think, to the extent where his ADP is dropping. For instance, in a 12-team league, I just grabbed him, I think, the 20th round of this.
Oh, see, that's a steal.
12.
Yeah, at that point, you're kind of just.
That's a steal because
it's all upside.
He can win you a category by himself.
Yeah, so it's I understand, and even with the down plate appearances, he still had 74 runs scored. So, and I understand he is a drain on your on base percentage or a drain on your average, depending on what kind of league you play in. But you have to just be smart about when you draft him. You can't draft him if you have a team full of batting average drains or if you don't have your OBP already built up by the time you get to him. But this year, there is no cost associated with it. You know he's going to run because he's on Kansas City, who loves to run and loves to push the action. And he probably ended up in the best possible spot for his fantasy value.
He did.
Because yeah. Ned Yost don't give a shit about on-base percentage.
Right.
He was notorious for right. years for playing Alcides Escobar at the top of the lineup.
He's got his new, younger Alcides Escobar right in his pocket.
Yeah, and defense, outfield defense, that's what yep. they care about in Kansas City. I think he's going to play every day. What this does is kill Brett Phillips' value, probably.
Yep.
So, which is unfortunate, because it would be nice to see him kind of get an everyday run, finally. But at the end of the day, he's just too cheap of a commodity to not take a shot on him. This is a guy who has returned, you know, single-digit round fantasy value in virtually every season until last year.
Isn't this kind of what you want? You want a guy with a plus skill on a really bad team?
Yep.
Yeah. What else is going to be actually fun? This has nothing to do with fantasy, but watching some of the plays he makes in that massive outfield.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, he's going to get to some crazy balls out there.
Alex Gordon in left field, too. It would be a nice outfield.
I think it might have been Walter. Is it Walter Darius said in our staff chat earlier today that they're going to try the triple steal? I mean,
oh yeah, that was me with Billy Mondesi and Witt. They got to try that triple steal.
I hope they hit Mondesi leadoff, and I hope they hit Merrifield second, and I hope they hit Hamilton ninth.
I don't think they will. I think it's pretty well set up for it to be a 1-2-3 with Hamilton, Mondesi, and Witt, and then they'll put Alex Gordon four because they really have no idea what they're doing.
Hey, it's Jorge Soler. Is this the year to buy some stock in that guy?
I mean, you can buy it because it's extremely low and it's not worth anything. So if he does anything, you're going to get you're almost guaranteed to get your money back because he costs absolutely nothing.
I've always loved that guy. I'll die on that hill, man.
Yeah, you got to get some. Got to get some Jorge Soler with all these OBP machines ahead of him.
Right. Can't steal first, right?
Well, you can try, but it's not going to work out real well. It's interesting. Like, what team probably has worse on base percentage between them and the Twins?
Oh, it's the Orioles between all of them. That's not even close.
There's some three pretty bad teams right there, and you know it's. Yeah,
it's the Orioles. It's the Orioles. Don't worry, guys. You don't have to look.
Currently, Roster Resource has Alex Gordon hitting third, Sal Perez hitting fourth, Ryan O'Hearn hitting fifth, Soler hitting sixth, Billy Hamilton hitting ninth. So they're going with you, Matt, but I don't think they've accounted for the Royals being Yosted.
Right.
I'm going to say this. That's kind of an intriguing lineup for fantasy. Sure. I will say
that. Yeah. It's a bad team. They're going to run. And
well,
I mean,
it's a bad division, too. And if
who are the catchers in the AL Central? I mean, Detroit doesn't have one yet. Minnesota's got Castro. Cleveland is rolling with Roberto Perez and Eric Haas.
Chicago's got Wellington Castillo.
So they're going to run like wild.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, Wellington, yeah, that's.
They're gonna between Mondesi, Merrifield, and Hamilton, they might have 130 stolen bases.
Well, and they have Brian Goodwin playing in right.
Right. So, yeah.
He can run.
Brett Phillips can run a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. So, though, right now they don't have Brett Phillips on the 25-man roster, which I think
is and probably not. Yeah.
Well, it looks like Cuthbert, too Owings, much Fortnite. And Herrera all have no options left.
Too much Fortnite and too much MLB The Show.
All right, let's move on from there and kind of do a postmortem on our 30-team dynasty draft. I'm kind of putting together an article. I was hoping to get every single person who participated in it to actually you could still go and do it, Matt, to participate in the questionnaire that I put together. But
wow, who would have thought we were waiting on Matt to do it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it my idea?
It's not shocking. that Matt did not do it. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this in our first podcast on this draft, but we'll kind of just reiterate. Start with you, Walter. What was your strategy going in?
Got to tank that year one. That's how you do it. You got to just forget about year one and worry about every other year. and just try and dominate after that.
Okay. And Matt, what was your strategy for year one?
Pretty much the same. I drafted like Verlander just to trade him, and I think I did pretty well in that trade.
We'll talk about that trade here in a little bit.
And then, but I was just trying to get this young. It sounds easier than it is, but I was just trying to get as young as possible with guys that are going to contribute now or knock on the door. So, and then I used my depth of minor league system to pluck some guys later on that I really liked.
And then my strategy, of course, for those who have been following my work around the industry, is always to try to win year one. So not worry very much about drafting prospects or drafting for youth. I kind of tend to draft best available player, go after it year one, and then figuring it out from there. Walter and I have had some interesting discussions on why each of our strategies is stupid. Or why the other person's draft strategy is stupid. Walter, I'll let you take a shot at me and why you think it's a poor strategy to try to win year one.
Yeah, just because year one is the year that everybody has this like puppy dogs and rainbows mentality where they all think they can win. So the majority of the league's going to go for winning that year. Starting usually halfway through the year or right as you're going to start year two, people realize that they made some mistakes and some teams are clearly stronger than theirs. And at that point is when more teams start to try and look for young talent. And that's when you can really capitalize and build up a dynasty roster.
And like, don't get me wrong. I see and you shared some stuff about one of the teams that you're in, some trades that you made on Twitter. So definitely go check out Walter's Twitter from earlier today. I kind of joked about this is why dynasty leagues fold, but largely that is one of the reasons why I tend to go after year one. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily ignoring youth, but I'm just not putting a premium on it. One, I want to win, and I always want to win. And I don't go into a league thinking, oh, I'm going to win year one, and then I'm going to rebuild, or I'm going to go after year one. If it doesn't go well, then I'll rebuild. I'm still expecting to win year two, three, and four as well, or at least trying to do that. You know, sometimes it works out better than others. My RotoWire Dynasty Invitational team we were talking about prior to recording has not gone so well, and I am kind of breaking that down, but that's largely because of a weird process in which we did to kind of establish who would have what pick in the first draft that I just really did not think through before sacrificing a ton of my keepers for 2019. So I'm kind of forced to rebuild because of that. But here's the thing. Most dynasty leagues fold within their first 3 to 4 years. And I don't want to be building for 2020, 2021, 2022, and then never get to see the outcome because too many teams quit and people don't want to pay because their teams are so crappy and you have a hard time refilling the league. Now, I think this is a league in which you can do it because I don't see this league necessarily going away. But I mean, Matt saw me do this exact same strategy in a previous Dynasty League that we were both in together. Matt's still in it. And I finished dead last the first year. I went all for it in year one, finished dead last, and then I won it in year two. So just because I think the idea that if you break it down after year one, after going for it, you're just kind of saying you sucked at drafting. Like, it isn't a matter of, like, it's a bad strategy. You did a poor job managing your team or drafting your team in year one if you're trying to break it down already in year two.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people are going to do a poor job of drafting, and that's kind of what you have to capitalize on.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I think also at the same time, like the chances that you're going to be competing in year two or three, I think there's a fallacy to the idea that you can turn around a roster the way that you've been able to do in this other league. I just don't think it's going to be as easy in a format like this, in a 30-team format where players are really spread out, the talent is really spread out. And I think it's going to be a difficult process to go from a prospect-heavy team to a talent-laden team. And if your prospects don't pan out, you're in a lot of trouble.
Hey, nobody said it was going to be easy. Winning's not easy, but the thing is, it's like I don't need all of these prospects to hit. So it's like if you just go to like let me see, round, it's so hard to navigate. So round 16, I got Marco Luciano, Dalton Varsho, Michael Chavis, O'Neill Cruz, Mark Vientos, DL Hall, Orelvis Martinez. I don't need all of them to hit.
No.
If two or three of those guys really hit, though, I'm going to be able to capitalize on all of that draft capital that I invested. So it's not necessarily like every single one of them have to hit. I'm just taking a bunch of them so that the likelihood of getting a really good player out of them is higher, as opposed to just one of them.
But if you start with your round three with Royce Lewis, Bo Bichette, Byron Buxton, Garrett Hampson, you know, Miguel Sano, George Valera, if only two of those guys hit, you're in some trouble, right? And the chances that top prospects are actually going to turn out to be top major league players is few and far. How long have we been waiting for Byron Buxton?
It's also a better chance than ever nowadays, too. The bust rate now is significantly less than it has been in years past.
Exactly. The bust rate is really low right now.
I don't necessarily know if it's really true.
Low. In comparison, it is. Yes, I agree.
It's very low.
I don't know that to be true. I mean, how long have we been waiting on Tyler Glasnow and Mitch Keller?
Those are all pitchers, and I didn't take any of those.
Okay.
And that,
going into last year, Baseball America's had J.P. Crawford as their number 16 prospect, Lewis Brinson as their number 18th prospect, Francisco Mejia as their number 20th prospect, Austin Hayes is their number 21st prospect. We're not even talking years down the road. We're talking a year down the road. And all of those guys.
You can't close the book on any of those guys.
You can't close the book, but you've lost a ton. If you drafted with this strategy last year and drafted those guys up as opposed to the ones that did hit, your team has no value.
I disagree, because I would buy low on those guys. Oh, I guess you're not getting fair value.
You just as easily could have drafted Ronald Acuna and Juan Soto, and it's like you're picking and choosing the specific bust, and in reality, you can still J.P. Crawford, he was a top prospect last year.
I'm looking at the 2018 Baseball America's,
you have to trust your own judgment too.
But
I mean, there were plenty of guys who were really high on guys like J.P. Crawford, and I know you didn't draft really many pitchers, so I'm having to go a little bit farther down the list. But Scott Kingery was another one.
Kingery got me last year. But, again,
got a lot of people. Dynasty, Willie Calhoun got me.
But last year is last year. And I'm still confident in both of those players being valuable fantasy assets.
And the other thing is, If you sold Scott Kingery the day he signed that extension,
you got paid.
You got a ton, and that's the other thing. It's you don't necessarily hold all these guys. Like if you can, I'm fully on board with any player is available at any cost. Like you said in those trades, I traded Juan Soto this weekend.
Yeah, but you got
and
Mike
I love
Trout.
Juan Soto. Yeah, I got Mike Trout, obviously. But I'm saying it's like
the best currency in the sport.
He cost me $10 in the auction that we did. I spent $10 on Juan Soto last year out of a $260 budget, and he's the centerpiece in a Mike Trout deal.
And I think it was a good deal for both sides. I mean, not only did you give up Soto, you gave up David Dahl, a couple other pretty decent pieces. So I think it's, you know, it was a good trade for both sides, depending on what they were doing. And I'm not in that league, so I don't know what the team constructs are and things like that. A lot of this stems from something that you said in the last podcast with you and Paul. You said that you felt that prospects keep their value longer than major league players do. And I think that is categorically untrue. I mean,
well, not all major league players.
I think the majority super, like, of them.
I very much disagree with that. Where is Domingo Santana going right now?
For sure.
Of a bad year.
He's going super late.
What about Jonathan Scope?
He's going late.
And I know I took Buxton in this league, but it's like, how many consecutive years has he gone in like the top 100 of dynasty drafts? And he's retained value even while struggling. It's like the top prospects do retain value. There's always going to be a believer. There just is. And it's like when Jonathan VR, take him after 2017, his value just tanked. It's like players that are MLB players that are not stars coming off a bad year, their values just tank. I will agree with you. Stars retain value, yes. But regular MLB players, their values go way down, way down. Even like a Rougned Odor. How late would we have been able to get him last year, coming off a bad season?
He went around 120, 130.
And he was, what, a 24-year-old coming off a bad year? It's just I don't know. I've just seen it so often that MLB players' value just completely gets shot after one bad season.
But you see the same – I mean, where's Maiton going right now?
Yeah, I mean, Maiton.
But
yeah,
Maiton
– he didn't debut – he had never debuted in pro ball and was getting hyped.
Well, not to go on a tangent, but for Prospects Live, my Angels list and an Angels podcast drops tomorrow, being Tuesday. There's quite a good rant on Kevin Maiton in there, and it's not really about Kevin Maiton per se, but like you go to look at Kevin Maiton for the rest of his career, anything that kid does is going to be deemed a failure, right? No matter what he does, because
he was compared to make
people were throwing generational comps on him, like, oh, he's the next Miguel Cabrera, next Chipper Jones. The only failure there is that scout that threw that on there. Mm-hmm. But now Kevin Maiton's got to wear that shit for the rest of his career, and he could still be a productive major leaguer. I think he could hit 30 home runs in the major league still. I mean, I'm not closing the book on Maiton at all. I don't think he's. I think he's going to be like a low OBP and power guy. So, you know, he's not going to be much of anything of considerable value. But like, that's not Maiton's fault. Well, I think that just shows you the player values, though. Player value is put on, it depends on what your source is and who you, and or your own eyes if you're seeing it. And I know Walter's an educated guy. I consider myself to be educated as far as prospects and stuff goes. You know, other people in the fantasy industry aren't. And if you are, you can take advantage of some of this. And you can sift through the sand, kind of, and find the guys that you like.
But the problem with that is, you know, especially guys when you draft guys who are somewhat far away, is their values change drastically.
Yeah, they
not even just year to year, but in
season. Stock market though.
Yeah,
the stock market.
So, and but, like, what happens when you're on? Like, don't get me wrong. You know, you guys love to talk about the times in which, you know, you were low on, or you were higher on a guy than the rest of the industry, and you made a huge profit, but just as often, we miss out on guys, or guys, their stock drops. Kyle Lewis, Jorge Mateo. There's been plenty of guys whose stock have dropped out of the top 10. And a year or two later, all of a sudden, you're holding a bag on a guy that is worthless. And like
You talked about pre-show. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You just talked about pre-show, how someone in one of your, I'm not going to say their names or anything, but somebody in one of your leagues traded Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. In like 2 years, that could be like the biggest blunder ever.
Yeah.
Because especially if you play in a certain format that you can use in both ways, Like, that's an, like, how do you value that?
Oh, I think Ohtani is a special case, because as much as we go in 2 years, and I love the pick by Walter. Walter took him in our league.
Yeah.
In the second round, I was thinking about pulling the trigger if Walter didn't. Even though I'm a win now kind of guy, just because the upside is so great in 2020.
Well, he's not going to be pitcher eligible, so he's going to have to sit out a couple games.
Okay, so he misses the first five games or something, whatever your league takes.
That's how it better go, by the way.
I don't think it will.
That's not how it's going to happen.
I can guarantee
it's not.
It should
because he's playing other spots.
Kyle Schwarber got catcher eligibility back in a lot of leagues. Victor Martinez did the same when he tore his ACL. I got a feeling that sites are not going to want to alienate people, because ultimately they're trying to attract people to play on their format, and that will give them the excuse to give him back pitcher eligibility. But, I mean, there is a lot of risk to Ohtani. What if he's never the pitcher that he has been again? Like, I still think he can be a fine major league hitter, but is he a top 50 player? I don't think so. Not unless he makes some drastic improvements against left-handed pitching. For me, it's a matter of, like, there is some, you know, for the guy who traded in the league that you're referencing, like, I get he's trying to win in 2019. He felt he was getting a deal that made that more possible by trading away Ohtani. I wouldn't have done it, but I also understand there is risk involved with a guy like that.
Right. And, you know, it's hard to judge the trade, because I don't know what he got back, but I have a really hard time being able to do that, I guess. Because I think if we're valuing Ohtani like we think he is, I think he's a top 25 dynasty asset.
I mean, if I know that he's healthy coming into to next year and can pitch and pitch the way he did, I think he is quite possibly the number one player.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but I think you're right. I didn't want to put that tag on him.
I like it. I'm liking what I'm hearing.
It depends on your format, though. It depends, because if you play in ESPN or Yahoo, he's not, because you can't use him both ways.
No, you can in ESPN.
Oh, you can?
Just Yahoo. Yahoo's the only place where they got a split player, and someone gave me some inside information that they don't intend to change that moving forward, unlike, you know, everywhere else in the industry. I think the only place is, I guess he's going to be DH in NFBC this year, but interesting to see what they do for 2020 when he starts pitching again. But if he's healthy and he looks like Ohtani, I don't know how he isn't the number one player in fantasy. And I love Mike Trout in daily leagues.
Yep.
Yeah, in daily leagues. But,
right.
Yeah.
Which is what this is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In weekly leagues, obviously, you would have to pick and choose. That makes it a lot more difficult. He would drop considerably. But I think, yeah, in a daily format, if he's back to 100% being the pitcher he was, and even if he's just the hitter that he was last year, a guy who can hit against right-handed pitching and do it at a high on-base percentage, do it with a lot of power, has the ability to steal bases, even if he's probably not going to steal a ton, he's got to be the number one player. I mean, the amount of value you get from having a hitter and pitcher in one slot is insane.
Yeah, no, it can't be duplicated. Now every team's trying that, so he broke the fantasy game, as we predicted, because now every team's getting these, you know, fringe guys.
I wish I hadn't, and it ended up turning out to be wrong because he got hurt, but when he signed that deal, Matt, Mike, and I talked about Ohtani and where we thought he was worth taking, and I said he should be a first-rounder. In a daily format. And then I backed off of it and pushed away from it because I didn't know how many innings he was going to throw. But, yeah, no, I mean, the math was correct. He should have been a first-rounder. You know, obviously got hurt and didn't play out that way. So
I'd be curious if he's not. Like, I mean, what do you do with him going into next year?
I mean, I personally think they should make him a closer.
Even that, I mean, shit, even in fantasy, that's huge.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that's what I would do. I would, You know,
and then you can use them both. But I don't think he's as good. I don't think he's as good a hitter as he showed this year. I think that was kind of a
I agree. I think there are some holes in his swing, especially like I said. He struggled against left-handed pitching. He didn't get a ton of bats against him either, so that could always rectify. It'll be interesting to see where he goes in redrafts this year, because I think he's going to be overdrafted based on that sample against right-handed pitching, because. The Steamer projections and other projection systems are a little bit insane on him right now.
I don't know. I think he's pretty insane.
I think he's insane too. But what? How? Like, are they going to have him do his TJ rehab with the major league club? Especially if the Angels fall out of it after the celebration.
I would think so. Yeah, because he's not playing the field, so
he's not gonna be able to pitch next year. So they'll just let him rehab his arm. While he, like, I would guess on his days off hitting and then just go into the off season as he normally would.
I think so.
At least that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's move on and talk about kind of your favorite picks from your team and then favorite picks from other teams. Let's start with Matt. What is your favorite pick from your team and why?
Come back to me on that. All I gotta look at my roster. Since
Walter actually did the assignment and filled it out, Walter, what was your favorite pick from your team and why?
You know, honestly, I don't even remember what I answered on there. But
you guys are the worst.
I like Ohtani. Like I said, like we've been saying, I think this time next year he's at a minimum a top 10 player in this kind of format. So I think where I got him is a steal.
I got my favorite pick was Jack Flaherty. I think where I got him. I know I got him in the second round in a 30-team league, but I still think he's going to be a monster for just, and what he showed, he outpitched any projections I could have possibly had for him last year, and I think he's already broke through the ceiling that I put on him already. And I'm glad to be wrong, cuz it's always good to be wrong, cuz it changes your analysis on things and you can see why you were wrong. And I didn't think the slider was as good as he showed. So that pitch is nasty. It's one of the top sliders in the game, along with that mid-90s fastball. Nothing, and the frame on Flaherty is ideal. What, 6'4"? He's a big dude, 6'3", 6'4". So I'm all about Jack Flaherty. I know a pitcher is a weird thing to say as your favorite pick, but and they're not all safe, because you know how that goes. But I'll roll the dice there.
My favorite pick was Joey Votto in the third round.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
It's a 30-team league, middle of the third round. It's still an on-base percentage format, and even if the power doesn't come back fully, the on-base percentage really buoys the rest of my team and allowed me to make some picks with guys that were a little bit risky in the on-base percentage department. And I just felt like going that late, going around pick 75, is just too late for a guy of Votto's pedigree and what he's done at the major league level.
Yeah, nothing like a 12 home run hitter in the third round.
That's okay, Well, and
that's not okay. You don't want that.
It is what it is, considering other third round picks. Let's see who went in the third round. I mean, some jackass took Royce Lewis.
Royce is a beast. I'm telling you, Royce is a beast. That's one of my guys.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I'm not as high on Royce Lewis as you are, because you think he's the next Trey Turner, which I think is an insane comp.
I don't mind it.
I don't understand how you can make that comp. Royce Lewis has not shown the same speed as Trey Turner. Royce Lewis grades out virtually the same as Franklin Barreto did when Barreto was a top prospect.
No, that's false. Yeah,
no, it's no, not. Go look at scouting reports for both players. They grade out almost identically.
Who wrote
the same.
These reports? There's no. It all comes back to our discussion we had earlier. There's no accountability anywhere. Anyone can just write whatever they want.
Well, this is true.
But I mean, I've never seen Trey Turner play in person, but I've seen Royce Lewis, and I'm pretty confident in what I saw.
You think he's the next Trey Turner?
I don't know if he's the next Trey Turner. I know that he's a productive five-category contributor.
I can go with that. I mean, but I like the idea that he's going to be a 20-40 guy with a, you know, 280 to 300 batting average seems insane to me.
I think that's within the realm of possibility, which is a scary thing to even say. But I the only thing I worry about a little bit with, not to be on Royce Lewis tangent, but a little bit is the hit tool. Because I saw what I saw is he's a really aggressive hitter, and not that he doesn't walk, but he does. But he made a lot of bad contact in the series I saw.
Well, I was going to say, well, the other thing with Royce Lewis you have to understand is he's, what, 2 full years younger right now than Trey Turner was when he was drafted? So it's like...
And he's already in Double A.
Well, is he going to start in Double A? Because he was in
High
A.
Yeah, he'll start in Double A.
Oh, he is? Okay, yeah. And if he's what, he's going to be 20 this year? So, yeah, he'll be in Double A before Trey Turner was even drafted. So you kind of have to account for that. Like, that's...
I'm the guy that said Jorge Mateo was going to be the next Trey Turner, so...
Well, so, I mean, like, I think that goes back to my point of...
Right, but,
like,
you know,
that prospects don't always hold their... or don't usually hold their value. I mean, I think, you know, when you see guys like Mateo lose a ton of value, you see guys like Ronald Acuna jump out of nowhere to gain a bunch of value, you know... The ranks change for prospects a lot quicker, I think, than in major leagues.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, what's your least favorite pick of your team, Walter?
My least favorite pick? Well, I guess I would say I don't even remember. I honestly don't remember what I answered this, but I'm gonna say Byron Buxton just because I still really don't believe in him. But I just felt like it was just the right spot that he kind of needed to go.
Where did you take him?
Took him in like 140 something. Seemed about like the right spot where he kind of needed to go in Dynasty. But I don't know. I still have mixed feelings about the pick.
I don't mind it because the, like, you know,
yeah,
the upside is so great. If he doesn't pan out, figure it out. I mean. I just think we're at a point now where instead of when people were actually banking on him as, you know, a top 20 prospect, top 10, top, you know, 3 prospect, the chance that he gets there is probably 5% now, whereas people were banking on him like a 50% chance he got to that ceiling.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's been ugly.
Matt, what's your least favorite pick?
On my team, I would say my least favorite pick, as I scroll down this list, was my Jed Jerko pick in the 18th round. Obviously, now he's a bench player only and probably going to get moved somewhere, which doesn't matter. But, yeah, I just think with where my team is at in the competitive cycle, like, should have just said fuck major league at bats and got prospects because that's where I'm at. So that was a pretty dumb pick.
Yeah.
Honorable mention pick for me is the pick of Ryan Zimmerman for the same reasons in the 14th.
Yeah, I'm.
I panicked because I missed the first baseman that I wanted, and
no, I
there
think
was legit
Zimmerman
nobody.
At least will have some value to trade off. So I mean, someone will give you. You know, some sort of prospect for Ryan Zimmerman. I'll give you, if you want to talk after the draft or after this podcast, I'll give you a prospect for Ryan Zimmerman. I've got two. One that I actually answered on that questionnaire that we had, which was Wilson Ramos. One, he doesn't have a team yet, which I'm a bit surprised. There hasn't been a lot of rumblings, but we're starting to run into a position now where I think there are more talented catchers than there are openings for catchers in Major League Baseball, and I feel like one of these guys is going to end up taking a backup role.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping it's not Ramos.
Yeah, Yasmani Grandal's out there, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. That's, you know, there's a number of guys that are out there that that are talented catchers, and I just don't know that there's a ton of teams, especially
as long as
teams
Baltimore doesn't sign anyone, because I got my boy Chance Cisco. I need him to break through.
Yeah, that would be a very Baltimore thing to do, is just, you know, block would, one of the few it? Prospects they have at the major league level. But I think the winner, or at least honorable mention, and I completely blame this on Mike Warner. So Mike Warner, in I think round 16 or 17,
I already know where you're going,
joined my team as a co-owner. And, you know, we were talking about what we need, and I said, you know, right now I'm looking at relief pitchers, and I'm looking at prospects. I want things to be able to trade to those teams that end up bailing out and want some prospects in return in a trade. But I also need relief pitching because we need holds. He goes, okay, well, I'm going to fill up our queue with a bunch of relief pitchers and prospects that I like. And he put Edgar Santana on our list. I drafted him in the 35th round. And, of course, I didn't do my due diligence because I thought my partner, Mike Warner, had already, considering he put him in our queue. And he had had Tommy John surgery in the offseason. So, and because of stupid fucking...
Hey, you can stash him on the DL.
Yeah, well, yeah. With stupid fucking rules in our league, we can't fucking pick up players until March. So I'm stuck with this fucking dead roster spot after the draft until March.
Well, you have a lot of prospects I don't like on your team, but I won't kill you.
Well, what prospects don't you like?
Let's see.
I'll tell you, Travis, Mike Warner Travis, pick or a Mike pick.
Travis Demerit.
That was a Mike pick, and it was our last pick of the draft. So
you have Josh Staumont and Yadier Alvarez. Which, you ever seen that Spider-Man meme where the things pointed at each other? That's pretty much those two guys.
Well, but here's the thing: both of those picks were mine, so I'll take responsibility for those picks. One, you know, I have an irrational love of Yadier Alvarez.
You like Yadier, which is fine. You got him so late.
I got Staumont even later, and while I don't like Staumont, he's going to be in the Royals rotation this year.
Yeah, it'd be in their bullpen, I think, but same difference. But my least favorite pick that I'm going to murder you for was your pick 30 in the 39th round. Yes, it's the 39th round.
But you took Trent.
But you took Trent Grisham of the Brewers. He's so bad that he changed his name. Hopefully, people wouldn't realize it was him. But he used to be Trent Clark, but he's now Trent Grisham, and he's not good. Sorry.
Mike wanted to take him like six rounds earlier. So
I have to do the Brewers system and for Prospects Live next week, and I'm not looking forward to writing about that.
Yeah, no, Mike wanted that pick, so I'm not taking responsibility there.
But.
I'll take responsibility for the first, like, 18 rounds.
And then I took my worst pick might be that 16-year-old Japanese kid I drafted, Kato Yuki. He's supposed to be, like, the next Yu Darvish.
Is he going to be on a major league team?
Not for, like, 6 years, but the Royals.
So you're not eligible to draft him, though, are you?
No, the Royals. He's property of the Royals. He's property of the Royals.
Oh, okay. So he signed with the club, though.
Yes.
Take a shot. Whatever. What's your favorite pick from another team, Walter? I'll throw it to you.
I really liked where Smata got Fernando Tatis Jr. I think he went way too low in this draft. It's just like he's going to be able to flip him for so much better than.
I don't think he's going. Player.
No, yeah. He's not going to flip him because
I made a trade
with him. He wouldn't budge off that.
Yeah, no, I tried to put Baez in a deal for Tatis.
I tried to give him Verlander. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you guys, he's not looking for Baez and Verlander for
Baez
Tatis.
Baez is the 12th overall pick in this draft.
Let's not get into
that.
Let's not get into that one. But the first bad team that decides that they're gonna sell, he's gonna flip Tatis for their first round pick. It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
I tried to trade a first-round pick to him.
Yeah. First-round pick. But, that's what's going to end up happening. And I just think it was great value where he got him.
All right, Matt, do you have a favorite pick of someone else's?
There's a couple. I like. Looking at the second round, I still think – I know he went pick 31, but Freddie Freeman at 31 seems pretty legit. I think Freeman's a top 12 to 15 player, so I think to get him there is pretty nice. I forgot to say that – we already kind of touched on this in an old podcast, but the Adalberto Mondesi pick in the second round is pretty – bad.
We'll get to Lee's favorite pick.
Okay. Freeman is probably the best, and then if I go a little bit later in the draft, I'm still looking. Where'd it go? I lost it. Oh, I'm a partial to like so a lot of the guys in this first year player draft, and Jared Kelenic went in the 12th round, and I think that's a steal.
I said Max Scherzer in the second round was a steal for Chuck. I know he's older and he's a pitcher, but there's no reason that he should be going outside of the top 30 picks. It just that seemed insane to me. Also, really like the Charlie Blackman pick in the second round by Darius. I don't know.
I was gonna take him.
Yeah, I don't know how he got all the way back to almost what 59th would be the pick.
Yep, I was gonna take Blackman if he didn't. So
it just I wish I had taken him instead of taking Severino in the second round, but I saw a pitcher run going, and for some reason Severino was on the tail end of that pitcher run, and just felt like it was too good a value to pass up. Least favorite pick from this draft, Matt, you want to talk about Mondesi?
Yeah, I think you're putting your eggs in a basket there, because if he fails, you're fucked, because it's a 30-team league. So... I mean, if you believe in the player, then more power to you. But I don't. So, I mean, realistically, like if he was on the board in like the sixth or seventh round, I don't know if I would still take him. That's how down I am on him. Well, that's again my opinion. So I don't really like that pick too much.
All right, Walter, what is your least favorite pick?
There's a few. I think one that kind of stood out to me was Jose Berríos in the second round. It just seems a bit high. He went over Verlander, Flaherty, Kershaw,
Corbin,
Castillo. No, Corbin went above him.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Tyone. Yeah. Oh, I guess Miles Mikolas would be another one that I didn't like in the third round.
That was
that's
early.
That's way too high for him. Over like Marquez, Mike Clevinger,
supposedly that was an accidental draft. Jim had him in his queue and I clicked the wrong. Or thought
we
he
could have asked us
else.
To change it. We could have fixed it for him, but yeah. Too late now.
No, I think he should have, but he...
Redraft it all.
And started over from right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think... Mikolas and Berríos were two that kind of stood out for me that I thought were really high.
If I'm going to talk about Wilson Ramos taking a catcher too early in Wilson Ramos, and I'm going to beat up on the guys who took catchers in the third round, three catchers went in the third round of this draft. Gary Sanchez went to Travis. JT Realmuto went to Greg. Wilson Contreras also went in third round. And while they're all talented guys and they can return, you know, a fair amount of value, especially in a league this deep, considering where other catchers went,
yeah,
it just turned out to be a glaring mistake by those of us, including myself, who took a catcher just too early. When guys that are usable in this format are going in the 20th round, It's kind of insane to be taking a catcher that early. So, you know, it could pay off for them in the short term, but catchers tend to have shorter lives, too, in terms of long-term dynasty play.
I'm going to say I don't really have an issue with the Gary Sanchez pick just because
I think
his upside is a complete difference maker at catcher.
If he's healthy and able
I think Realmuto is a bit overrated, and then Contreras is...
Yeah, I don't like Contreras. I don't really like Contreras at all. But, I think Gary Sanchez can be a major difference maker at catcher.
I agree with that.
Also, Mike Andujar going in the second round was a little weird.
Yeah, that was like Miguel Andujar, yeah.
And I love Matt Chapman, too, but Matt Chapman going in the second round seemed like a reach to me. I think Steve did a really nice job with his next few picks. That kind of, you know, he took Conforto in the third and Kane in the fourth. But Chapman,
we'll get you guys though.
Yeah, and this is a league where it's deep enough, and you don't have a pick for another 30 or 40 picks. You're probably not going to get him back on the wraparound. So I totally get that, and I was huge on Matt Chapman coming into last year, and it paid off really well. But I think I'm going to be priced out on him in 2019.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's finish up with this because I know Walter needs to get some sleep. He's got an interview in the morning, and my wife will kill me if I record too late. why don't we start with who do you think will win this league in 2019? Matt.
I think the easy answer is the guy I just gave Verlander to.
Smata.
Yeah. Because he didn't give up. He got a second-round pick without giving up anything. In Verlander, he got a second-round pick without giving up anything off of his major league roster. So.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I don't mind the return. I wish you had given me a chance to steal him from you.
You didn't have anything that could beat Joe Adele.
I love Joe. You know I love Joe Adele. So.
Which is why sometimes the win now pick is the prospect, but.
Yeah, because he got a free second-round pick, and he drafted – I mean, yeah, he gave up Nate Lowe also, but he gave me Adele, who he took in the fifth round pretty much for Verlander, who
– No, I took him in the fourth round, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he took him in the fourth. And, yep. Justin, if you had taken Joe Adele instead of Zach Greinke, you could have had Verlander.
Potentially, but I don't necessarily need the pitching, so I mean
– I went after Tatis from him. He wouldn't budge on Tatis, but he gave me Adele. So.
Yeah.
And I traded away prospects that I took – much later and got Javier Baez. So
yeah,
I think that
trade was kind of that was
got a first round pick.
Yeah, he was the 12th
that trade was suspect. But yeah,
I mean, I don't know how it's suspect.
What was that full trade?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad trade.
What was it? I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
Give me a sec. I'll look it up.
It was like scraps for Baez.
My Verlander trade was Justin Verlander and Ryan Zimmerman, who if I'm rebuilding, I don't need for Joe Adele, Nate Lowe, and Jonathan Ornelas, who is a draft pick for the Rangers this year, who I really like. That was the whole Verlander trade. So
yeah, originally I said Darius was going to win, but I think Smata's going to win because I also just gave him Kikuchi.
But we don't know what Kikuchi is.
Kikuchi will be a solid pitcher. I'm 100% confident in that.
Yeah, I think he'll be a number two in this league behind Verlander. That's perfectly fine. I gave him to him for Luis Garcia from the Phillies.
But I mean, like, is his one-two better than my 1-2?
Who's your 1-2? Severino and
Greinke? I don't think it is.
Probably not, but his offense is better.
I don't think
it is either.
He has Bryce Harper, Gallo, Winker, Danny. He is a really solid.
He did a really nice job of drafting to the format.
I think I did as well.
I don't know your team as well as his because I looked at his roster for like days to make that trade. So go over your roster real quick. Who are you?
I've got Ramos at catcher, Votto at first, Baez at second, Justin Turner at third, Trey Turner in the at shortstop. My outfield is weak. That is my weak spot. Roman Quinn, Josh Reddick, Tapia, Miguel Cabrera, Zach Cozart, Barreto on the bench. Duval on the bench. So
see what kind of outfield.
I think we're lacking power, but we're supposed.
Sounds
to,
like you need a Jordan Luplow. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think I need power. Is what I need. So feel free to
Jordan Luplow. Nobody's ever asked for anything more.
Feel free to send offers for power. So, what were we? I can't remember what we were talking about. Oh, the trade I made. For Javier Baez, we traded Helio Ramos, Luis Robert, and Luis Oviedo.
It's a good trade. Oviedo's a good dude.
Yeah, I mean, depending on where you're at on Helio Ramos, it's I think.
Yeah.
You know.
I have Hunter Renfro if you need power.
We'll talk after.
but I'm gonna go with Smata for the win year one.
Matt, are you going with Smata as well?
Yeah. There's only a couple teams I think that can win it. You being one of them, but I think Smata's got the advantage.
I will win it year one. Yeah. I'm just saying it now.
It does take more skill to win. Later on in the dynasty format, so
I don't know that to be true.
I just like saying that.
I know you like saying it, but it's it makes absolutely no sense. Is what it is. Is at the end of the day, it takes to win a 30-team league with the amount of with the talented players we have from our site playing in this game. It's going to take talent no matter what. Like this isn't a league in which you're going to sneak in a championship. This isn't like a 12-team redraft league. This is a league that's going to take skill in order to win, and I hope to do that year one, so that way I can drop the mic on all of you.
Year one is just going to be a game of attrition in this league.
I mean, it could be, for sure. I think it'll definitely come down to who stays healthy, because, you know, in that 20-team league I referenced earlier, the reason I finished in dead last is because my entire team got hurt. And then they were all healthy year two.
Yeah.
And
I don't think people are prepared for what's not going to be, what the waiver wire is going to look like in this league. Pretty much screwed.
Go hit the players available right now.
Yeah.
You can already see.
Yes, Andrew Kashner was the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see.
Cash money.
The top hitter available, according to FanTrack, is the aforementioned Alcides Escobar.
It is an OBP league, so that gives you an idea.
There's catchers everywhere.
Man. I haven't looked at the players available yet, but I am right now.
Yeah, it's really bad. So, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Matt, why don't you talk about what you're working on and where people can reach you?
I am right now doing the Prospects Live, getting my prep for the Brewers system to do that. I'm also doing the stuff for the FWFB draft guide right now. I got about 8 or 9 teams done, so I need to get working on that. But they're not very long for the fantasy blur because we're doing the podcast too, so I have no problem finishing that. It's going to be good stuff. But yeah, other than that, working too much. I think everybody else is doing that too.
I'm not working.
Well, you are because you're playing daddy.
I'm up every 3 hours, so
that's harder. That's harder than actual work.
Yeah, I was saying on the Sleeper and the Bust episode I just recorded with Paul that
knowing you probably planned all this because now you get time off to do fantasy baseball prep and take care of your kid.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not like getting as much prep done as I would have liked because
I'm kidding.
It's
obviously.
really hard to type when you have a baby in one arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just and I still have to write, you know, all my football stuff. You know, I'm still doing that, 10,000 to 15,000 word article every week for Fantasy Alarms. So it's unfortunately I'm not getting as much work done as I thought I would, and I'm just tired. You know, sleeping in increments sucks. So you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Like I said, you can hear me over on Sleeper in the Bust. You can hear me on the podcasts here. You can read my stuff over at Fantasy Alarm. Getting ready for the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. And for those who don't know, it's going to be on NFBC this year. If you are in the industry and you want to apply, go to tgfbi.com. That's it for me. Walter, what do you got going on?
Just working on the stuff for the draft guide and podcasting. That's pretty much it.
Nice.
And then tweeting out Dynasty stuff.
Mm-hmm. The hard part about this Dynasty draft is now I've got, like, this itch to draft.
I wanted to do another draft so bad.
Cut down on my leagues this year, and I'm, like, after doing that draft, I'm, like, so itching to do more drafts.
No, not me. I felt exhausted. I was let me get a nice little break before I actually do all these other drafts I have to do.
No joke. I'm still doing the pitcher list mock.
How? How?
Like, it's we've got 3 rounds left. I took Billy Hamilton in the 20th round. I just made that pick today. This draft is a 12-team. A draft, 23 rounds, and it started, I want to say, like 2 days after our Dynasty draft. It was 30 teams, 45 rounds, and we finished that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we finished that in 3.5 weeks. That was we were on a blistering pace.
But I mean, yeah, no, this is a no time limit for picks, and I had to text because Saris is in the draft and he hadn't picked in 3 days, and so I had to text him today, and be like, hey, please go pick. Just like, I can't wait any longer. Like, I don't want to be the person that pesters people, but they threatened to shut down the site because they need to kind of revamp for 2019. And I was like, no, do not let me miss out on all this fucking work.
Oh, man. Yeah, I am a draft pest. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, hey.
I am too, usually.
I'm hurry up. Let's go. Let's get it going. I mean, you guys saw me in the Dynasty draft.
Mm-hmm.
Always messaging people, hey, you're on the clock. But, yeah, I couldn't do that.
Oh, it's been brutal. I'm looking forward to making my last 3 picks and being done with it. So
yeah, waiting to draft is rough. It's like the worst thing because you sit
really
there.
Is. That's gonna wrap us up for this episode, though. For Walter, Matt, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season or off season.